Bolivar speaking, sharing his dream, his vision that the Lord gave him. He said, this is a long dream with good teachings. In the beginning of the dream, inside the dream itself, there was two ministers who arrived from your church. At the time, that was talking about the UPC church, or the Apostolic Church, which is pretty much the same. And that was his experience. He had just been delivered from this church, okay? But I can tell you, you can put any church in here, it don't make any difference, because they're all the same, okay? He said, and I wanted to share with these two ministers what the Lord had given me in the dream. I got this blackboard, and I said, look, brothers, what the Lord is revealing to us. And I got this chalk, and it wouldn't write. So I would get another chalk, and it wouldn't write either. And it hurt my heart, because I wanted to explain everything that the Lord was giving me, and they were desiring. So I went to this other blackboard, and I tried, but the chalk wouldn't write. So I told them, God doesn't want me to teach you these things, maybe later on. And of course, these are leaders in the particular religion he was in at the time. You know, sometimes the very people we want to reveal these things to, God won't reveal it to them. And there's a reason. There's a reason right there. Because there's a certain path you got to go through, that God has put things in your path for you to come through, and you have to go through certain things before you get these revelations open to you. Somebody can speak a revelation to you, and I can tell you, it'll go in one ear and out the other one. And you'll think, now what was that? You'd be just scouring your mind trying to remember what it was, but it wouldn't stick with you, because you hadn't overcome in the steps that you had to overcome in leading up to that point, or it wasn't the time, you know. And that was the situation here. He wanted to bring it back, this understanding, back to his religion. God didn't want to bring it to his religion. He wanted to bring him out of his religion. You know, the Bible says we would have healed Babylon, but she wouldn't be healed. They'd flee every man to his own place, you know. So Bolivar goes on, he says, from that day on, I was afraid. I feared God to get into your churches. I had the capacity to help with what God had given me, but God didn't permit me for 10 years. He didn't let me get in this organization. He wouldn't guide me this way. And for fear of that, I wouldn't get in. But in Opelousas, which was, I don't know how many miles from Baton Rouge, Opelousas is, 50 or so miles from us, about 3 weeks ago I had a dream that the sister who gave us hospitality over there told me, let's go to the United Pentecostal Church. And we were on our way when I woke up. So God was showing him he was going back, you see. In this first dream, I was in a school, and the name of the school was Costa Rica, which means wishful. It's a little school building right there. It's a little schoolhouse, okay? There was a big room in the school, and this white woman, dressed in white, showed us a lot of mysteries from the scriptures. And I learned in that dream, sitting down in her class, the tree that gives fruit, this is a revelation that he had shared with us, the tree that gives fruit, and about the pregnant woman. These are just things that he had shown us, that the Lord had shown him, okay? In that dream, she taught me that. And there were other things there. But the class finished, and there was a door here, and there was a way that would go this way, and then it would go back away from the beach. In other words, there was two doors, a door leading out the front, going towards the beach, and one going out the side, going the opposite direction, you see. After this dream, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then the Lord told me, don't go to any churches. Stay in the house for 3 months. That's when I received all those revelations every night. But I love the pastors of the apostolic faith. You know, when you learn about these things, you're tempted to judge people, you know. But God doesn't want that. He's not interested in that at all. I mean, he uses other people to try us, but he don't want us to judge people. He don't want us to be critical of people. You ever heard the old saying, there but for the grace of God, go I, you know? I mean, you could be in the same place. I would be back there if he didn't open my eyes and help me to see. I would be right there. He said, but I love the pastors of the apostolic faith. Personally, I had nothing against them. It was because of the doctrine that the Lord took me out of that church, because of the erroneous doctrine. But he didn't take me out without teaching. He took me out with his teaching. But I had that dream there. And when the class finished, those two apostolic ministers arrived. other words, when the lady got through teaching, the white lady with the white clothes on, when she got through teaching, these two ministers arrived in his dream. And we were going to leave already, but I received them with joy. I said, "Look, Brother Samuel, I want to show you what the Lord is revealing to me." And I had this chalk, and I wanted to write, but the chalk wouldn't write. It would crack. And I would get another chalk, and it wouldn't write. So I went to this other blackboard, and the chalk wouldn't write. And he wanted me to teach him, and I told him, "God doesn't want me to, maybe later on." I don't know what happened to them in the dream, but in the class, we all came out this way. We all came out the front, going towards the beach. A group of the class went that way. In other words, they went out the side, going towards the back. They didn't want to follow us. And we knew in the dream that they weren't doing the right thing, because they should continue with the teacher who's guiding, that woman that was guiding us. Okay? I'm going to try to interpret that dream. This coast is the meditation upon the Word of God. See the ways of meditation upon the Word of God. Psalm 1 says that he who meditates on the Word of God day and night will be like a tree that's planted beside the waters. That's this coast. When you're in the Scriptures, you're in that school. That woman dressed in white is the Word of God. Because in Spanish, the Word of God is feminine. That's the advantage of Spanish. In Spanish, you can go deeper into the Scriptures because it has masculine and feminine terms. So this woman guides us. When we were going along here, the correct path, number one, over on your left, we were going in a line, one behind the other. We had a lot of thirst, and the sun was real hot. When we got close to this little house here, number two, we received temptation to get out of the way of being one of them. This is the world. This is in the desert of this world. But you have to walk in that way and not seek the comforts of the world to satisfy your thirst. For you should be satisfied in Jesus Christ. You know, the temptation is, when you're wanting to be a disciple of Christ, is to get out of his way of doing things. He said, "I'm the way," you see. And do it your way. Kind of like we were talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, trusting in your own strength. Let's see, I'll give a little bit of my own understanding here, and we'll just go with the way the world does it, you know. Like going back to Egypt, you know. Going to the flesh pots or whatever, you know. We've been educated to do it our way. But the Scriptures forbids us to do it our way. Because God's put little laws and rules and regulations in there that don't permit us to go the way that the world always goes. And you just think about it, you know. If you're really interested in doing things God's way and being a disciple, then if you're going to be a disciple, you have to do things God's way. It's kind of like God's way of healing. Read the Scriptures. You're going to see God's way of healing. And if you go look in the church, even the charismatic churches, they're going to tell you God's got a different way of healing. But if you go to the Bible, you can't see but one way. The word of faith. You can't see people going in debt in the Bible because they spoke against it over and over. You can't see people doing a lot of things that people do. If you're interested in being a disciple, what you do is you study that word and make it a rule for your life. I'm going to live this way because God's principles are right. God's principles are what cause us to overcome the world. God's principles always forbid us from going to the arm of the flesh. You know, we think we know a better way, you see. And the world's made it simple so that you can have everything right now. You just do it their way. You just bow down to the beast and you do it their way and they'll make sure you get it right now. But you don't go through a trial of your faith and you don't see God do miracles that way either. The people who are quick to run to the world, they don't see the miracles. It's the people who are going to restrain themselves. They're going to go to God. They're going to let Him be the Savior. Let Him be the Jehovah Jireh. Let Him be the supplier. Let Him be the healer. You see that? So that's basically what he's talking about here. Be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Be satisfied with the way He wants to provide for you. He will provide for you. But in the midst of your trials, you are going to die to self. Okay? If you'll stay on that road, right? Because there, I'm going to go back to what he's saying here. Because there's going to be a need in your life when you have to do the will of God. Many times I've had need doing the will of God, different kinds of need, sometimes of food, sometimes of garments, many things. And sometimes a brother tells me, "You can do this, and you can do that." But I have to continue in the line of the Lord. See, he's talking about the lines. If they came out of that little schoolhouse all in a straight line, you know, they were going to the beach, and they walked down by the beach, he said. He said, but we have to stay in the line of the Lord. And we felt the desire to get out of the line in the dream, but I didn't do it. This other brother, though, in front of me, he got out. And when he wanted to return to the line, he had to go to the back of the line. You realize that? You know, when you're in a trial, if you get out of line and you go ahead and go do it your way, you don't come right back and get back in the line where you left off. Because all these other people that are behind you, they've been faithful. And they're moving up, you see. See, the way we bear fruit and the way we progress is to stay in line. So if you don't stay in God's line and you get out of line, you go do it your way, guess what? You go back, you get at the end of the line. You don't take up where you left off. Let the people that are faithful be in the front. They will be, you see. The Bible also says, don't let any man take your crown. Because people do lose their crown. They have to give them up to somebody else. You see that? And so, we were over here this far, number two. The little house. That's the house of the temptation of the world, okay? And y'all know about that. Everybody who's been listening to me knows about that house, you know. Because when you read the scriptures, it narrows the way. The scripture narrows the way for a person. Now, if you're going to justify yourself and say everybody else is doing it, it's okay. Well, the way is broad. But Jesus said, no, it's narrow. It's a narrow road, see? The scriptures continually narrows your road. Why? He wants to conform you to Christ. See, the scriptures want to narrow your road. If you won't permit yourself to be narrowed on the road, then you'll be on the broad road. It's very simple. Okay? Okay, Bolivar's going on here. He says, and so we were over here this far, number two. As we passed the house, in the arms of each one of us, there appeared a boy, a little baby. Each one of us had a baby in our arms. So when they went past that house, when they overcame that temptation, they got a baby in their arms. Okay? In obedience, Christ is being formed in us. That child in each of us, through the obedience, was forming in our life. And, you know, the scripture teaches this. You know, we have a child forming in our life. You know, my mother is the one that hears and does the word of God, Jesus said. See, we are the mother of Christ, but there's only one way that Christ child is going to be born in us and come to maturity in us, and that is if we hear and do the word of God. It's the seed that brings forth the Christ, you see. The seed is the word, and Jesus is the word. So that seed brings forth the Christ. But it doesn't do anything in your life unless you're ready to hear and obey, you see. Remember what Elizabeth told to Mary. She said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the thing which was spoken unto her from the Lord. And what did the angel tell her? That she was going to be the mother of Christ. And so that's the important thing. That's the important thing. If you want to be the mother of Christ, spiritually speaking, if you want to bring forth the fruit of Christ in your life, you have to be a hearer and a doer of the word. Okay? And you know, also in Luke 8:15, it talks about those that hold fast the word bring forth fruit. And then six or seven verses later, Jesus said, my mother are those that hear and do the word of God. So that's what it is to hold fast the word. If you hold fast the word, then you're impressed with doing it God's way. And you want to do it God's way. You want to look at the scriptures and you want to be like that. You want to obey that. Not be impressed with the multitudes. The multitudes are never going God's way. The multitude of Christians are never going God's way. Never. In all of history can you find any place where the multitude of God's people are going His way. It's just not true. So if you look at them and you're impressed with them, you're not going to go God's way. You're not going to be a disciple of Christ either. We continued, and now I was up in front of the line. And there were two cows here. As they followed the line, ran across these two cows. These two cows were yellow, and that represents flesh. Do you remember my dream about the cow? The old cow, it was all shriveled up and ugly looking. And how I was standing on the top of this mountain, and they were bringing these power lines, these big high-tension power poles up this mountain, but when they got to the cow, they had to stop. And the Lord showed me that God is bringing the power of God like we've never seen. There's something restraining the power of God for His people. That we've never seen this power that I'm talking about. This power that's coming is shortly coming. It's coming about the time that America gets judged. This power is fantastic. This power the church hadn't seen in 2,000 years. This kind of power. We've seen miracles. Yes, we have. But we hadn't seen this kind of power. Because there's one thing that restrains. Looking down on the ground beside me, I saw this old shriveled up cow. And God told me what that cow represented. That cow represented the organizations of men. Because a cow eats grass and he feeds milk. He can only feed milk. A cow can only feed milk. But grass, the Bible says in 1 Peter, all flesh is as grass. And what the Lord showed me was the cow just feeds a fleshly understanding of the Word of God. A cow can only feed the milk. Okay? So that was my revelation. But then the revelation went on, and I picked up a man child that came out of that cow, a big baby boy that came out of that cow. And I went over and got on an escalator. Now, as I went to the top of this escalator, the scene changed. And here was all the religious leaders, all the famous religious leaders. Just like the cow was passing off the scene, it was dying, it was shriveling up. And as I actually, when I watched it, the men that were bringing through the power lines, they took a big front end loader and loaded up that cow and took that cow on off. And I watched them carry that cow on off. Then the scene changed, and I saw all these religious leaders. And like they were passing their authority on to me. That's what they were doing. They handed these papers on to me. And God spoke to me and said, this is his propaganda about what he has accomplished. The Lord is about to change the ministry of the church in this country. I can tell you, in the name of Jesus, he's going to do it. He's going to do a wonderful thing. Because these people have kept many people in bondage. We'll get to that in a minute. So, remember the cows. It says, these cows represent religion. They are put in your way. They can be individuals and they can be persons. They can be ministers. They can be brothers that say they know a lot, or they can be carnal that just get in the way. They were eating on the road, and I was afraid when I saw them. You know what? You feel things in dreams. You feel things that the Lord wants you to feel. Sometimes in real life, you don't feel the same emphasis. But in the dream, God makes you feel the emphasis He wants you to feel, because that's the way you should feel. When He saw these cows, He was afraid. Now, cows don't make you afraid, do they? But let me tell you something. It's a fearful thing to get caught up in religion and stunt your growth and not go on with God. It should be a fearful thing, because you're losing out something tremendous in the kingdom of heaven. Okay? These cows made Him afraid. I knew that I had to pass by them. And I said, in the name of Jesus, and I closed my eyes and I passed those cows. He closed his eyes and he just passed them right up. Because if you walk by faith, let me tell you, you're going to pass them cows. And closing your eyes and walking is walking by faith, because you don't see where you're going. Right? When I opened my eyes again, I saw myself here at number 3. Right in front of that little door there. Right past the cows, about 3 inches there. Right in front of that door. There was like a door there, and I was looking inside that hall. You see the hall that goes left there? And I was looking inside that hall with one hand on this side and one hand on the other. And I had passed the first danger, but this hall was dark, and it was frightening. Again, he was afraid, you see. In the dream, God was making him feel what he should have felt in this life, that there's something dangerous here, you see. The cow's dangerous. Some people don't understand that. Most young Christians don't understand that. The cow is dangerous, because the cow had captured all the people in Jesus' day. The organizations of men had captured all the people in Jesus' day. Very few got freedom from that and went on to follow Jesus. See, this hall had another door here, number 4. See, there's a door on one side and a door on the other side. Okay. This door was the entrance to a university. This university had a big exit, and it had a window. But I was at the door here at number 3. In this other door, there was a prince standing, dressed in gold, real beautiful. He was the doorman, and he told me, come forward. And that was Jesus, right? He told me, come forward. He wanted me to come through the hall and come into the other door, right? But I was afraid, because that hallway was too dark, and I thought, if I found cows back there on the road, surely the bulls must be in here. But that thought was of God, because if God gives you a revelation, everything is of God, even your thoughts in the revelation. The bulls of Bashan, have you ever read that? Those were the scribes and the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's in Psalm 22 in verse 12. Did y'all ever read that? It's a prophecy of Jesus and the problems that he was having with the religious leaders of his day. 22 and verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth, as a ravening and a roaring lion. So these bulls were like lions, okay? To show you that it's a prophecy about Jesus, verse 16 is very clear. It says, the dogs compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. It's obvious that they're talking about Jesus, right? It's a prophecy about Jesus, all right? Do you remember my dream about the bulls? What the Lord spoke to me about the religious leaders? After I saw the cow, and I went in, and the religious leader was handing me this paperwork, and the Lord told me this is his propaganda about... You know what the Lord showed me about them? They were the bulls of Bashan. That's what the Lord spoke to me about. They were the bulls of Bashan. Because the bulls are the one that sows their seed in the cow. You see, we want the seed of Christ. We want the unleavened bread. The only way you can escape the curse of the death angel was to eat the unleavened bread. Remember we talked about that? What's the unleavened bread? It's the seed of Christ, the Word of God. The bulls of Bashan have got a bad habit of sowing their own seed in the cows. Okay? Quite natural. But quite unscriptural and unspiritual. But it's quite natural. It's so natural that most people get caught up in that. But hopefully, God will show them through it. You know, you get into some situations and some circumstances because you don't see good. But when God opens your eyes, you begin to see better. And the more you pray and you depend upon Him to open your eyes and help you to see and give you the truth, the more you can see. In fact, sometimes you see a lot better than the leadership over churches who have been 50, 60 years in the Word. You see much better than them very quickly. See, it's a trial. It's a trial. Which way are you going to go? God is, you know, are you going to be distracted or are you going to stay in the line with the Lord, in the way of the Lord, you see? It's a trial. The people who are going to be overcomers, they're going to be proven, you see? We're going through trials. Everybody's going through trials. To be proven. God sends you a trial to see if you're going to trust in Him for a healing. Or He sends you a trial to see if you're going to trust in Him for your finances. Or are you going to trust in Him for a sin, a besetting sin? Are you going to trust in Him? You see, He sends you trials. And He also sends you trials to see if you're going to be distracted by the religious organizations of this world. Because they don't go very far. All they feed is milk. But you can't grow up on milk. Babies live on milk. And a baby that goes on drinking milk, drinking milk, drinking milk is going to die. They're never going to mature. The doctrines that we've heard all of our life, these doctrines that we've heard all of our life, you'd be shocked at how many times the Scriptures says the exact opposite. And yet we hear this all of our life, and we think this is a part of true doctrine. Guess what? God is going to... Because the majority have never spoken the truth, because they've never known the truth. The only way you can find out the truth is to trust in the Word of God. And seek out that your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is what God is saying. Don't put your trust in anybody. Anybody. Nobody. Okay? So he says, I thought that there were bulls. So I looked to my right in the hall and I didn't see anything. Because the devil never works at your right hand. Remember a while back I shared with you what the Lord shared with me about north, south, east, and west? How the north is the left hand of a man facing east. Or a man facing the rising of the sun. In all of the Scriptures, God's people were attacked from the north. You ever notice that? And even today, we're attacked from the north. And meaning is the left hand. The left hand is the hand of cursing, you see. You know, this same brother had a vision one time. He saw himself coming up to the throne of the Lord. Guess who was on the Lord's left hand? The devil with a cannon. And he had the cannon pointing at these people that were presenting themselves before the Lord. He was standing there jumping up and down with a lighter. He wanted to light that candle. And the Lord had his hand over there in front of him. He was just restraining him from doing it. You know? But he was jumping up and down with glee, man. He wanted to light that, you know, he wanted to light that candle and blow him away, you know. But the left hand of God, in many cases, is the devil. Because he is the one who manipulates and who brings to pass the curse. You see,
he's the one.
So this danger that, Bolivar was going through and all of us go through wasn't from the right, it was from the left. Anyway, that's what he's pointing out. And when I looked to my left, I saw a table with legs real high. It didn't have any chairs because none of these people were entered into rest. They're not resting. It didn't have any chairs. I'm throwing in my thinking here too, you know, not just Bolivar. There were six men there. Six is the number of man, right? Ministers, Christians. I knew that they were ministers, speaking of the Bible among them, conversing with their doctrines. And when I saw them, I was more afraid. They made me more afraid. They were the fear of that hall, because there's a danger of listening to men who know more of the Scripture than we do sometimes. There's a danger, because you can begin to respect men and not respect the Word. And you can begin to accept what they say instead of what the Lord says. Very big danger, very real danger. Most young Christians fall into it one time or another. The overcomers are not going to stay there. They're going to get up and get out of there, you see. They're not going to stay with that, you see. And Christ said, "Woe unto you, interpreters of the law, for you're at the door." You read that? They're at the door. You're at the door, and you don't enter, and those who want to enter, you won't let them enter the door. You see that? That's the way it was in Jesus' day. Number three and number four.
He actually said that.
Yeah, he said that. Who did he say it to? The bulls of Bashan, the religious leaders. He said, "You're not entering in, you won't let anybody else enter in. You stand at the door and you won't let anybody enter in," you see. Well, they are a very danger, because if you get your eyes opened to the truth, they're going to restrain you. They don't want you going further than them. They don't want you to go beyond them. They don't want you to understand something they don't understand. In fact, they forbid it. In most cases, they'll throw you out of there if you get a revelation they ain't got. You understand what I'm talking about? Especially if you're vocal about it, man. You're gone. You know? They'll throw you out. Well, they don't want you entering in. They're not going to enter in. And they don't want you to enter in. Nothing has changed. Human nature has not changed from the time of Jesus to now. There is no difference. We've got the same problems. We got the same scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees. Same thing. Exactly the same thing. And Jesus is still the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He's still doing the same thing. He's trying to get people to pass through that hall and go to the university. None of those leaders are in the university. None of them. They won't go through the door. Okay? Are y'all following me? In the Song of Solomon, the Bible says, "The beloved, the friend of Christ," that was the bride, the Shulamite, Song of Solomon, "sought for her beloved. Day and night she would seek him, and she found those who take care of the cities." You heard of that, right? That's Song of Solomon 3, from 2 to 4. "Found those who took care of the cities." You know what the cities are? Congregations of people. The city represents a congregation. "She found those who took care of the cities, who guarded the cities." The scribes and the Pharisees, that's who they were. "She found them, and she with joy asked them, 'Can you please tell me where I can find the one that my soul loves?' And you know what they did? They took these sticks and they hit her. And they hurt her. They didn't tell her where he was, but they would hit her. But you know what she did? She says, 'Then I passed on through them. And after I left them behind, I found him whom my soul loved.'" Well, that's very true. You know, Song of Solomon. This is the truth. I mean, God didn't put that in there for nothing, for no reason. I mean, you know. He wants you to see that the way of the bride, or the way of the Shulamite, is to go past these people. Don't stop with them. Song of Solomon from 3, 2, 3, and 4. And verse 4 says, "When I passed from them, when I found him whom my soul loveth, I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house." You know who our mother's house is? The place where we were born? How many of you were born in religion? See? Mother's house is, you know what God told Israel? He said that their mother was Babylon. That's in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 12. He said, "Your mother's Babylon." He told them that. You know what? When we're born in Babylon. She wanted to bring Jesus back to her mother's house. That's what she wanted to do. Everybody who gets understanding and finds the Lord and finds something further than religion, they want to bring it back to their brothers and sisters. They have an interest in doing that. But he's not well received there. He's not well received. The true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus that religion makes up, the Jesus of the Bible. He's not well received there. You tried, many of you have tried giving revelations you saw right out of the Word to religious folks, and you saw how well it was received. Well, that's the Word. That's Jesus Christ, you see. They're not running after the same Jesus in many cases. It says in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, the watchmen that go about the city, they found me, they smote me, they wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my mantle from me. In other words, they took away my submission to the Lord. Okay? I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell ye him that I am sick from love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Now this, these people are asking, well, what's so different about your Jesus, you know? O thou fairest among women, what's thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou dost so adjure us? In other words, she wasn't going to take no substitute. We don't want no substitute Jesus. I don't want no substitute. I want Jesus, you see. I don't want the truth. I want the Word, you know. And another example, he says, the Shulamite, the bride, said, tell the, chapter 1, verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest thy flock, where thou makest it to rest at noon. In other words, the full revelation of the sun. Right? For why should I be as one that is veiled beside the flocks of thy companions? Why should I be, have my eyesight? Why should I be veiled? You know, the Bible talks about taking away the veil, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know. When we get the revelation of Jesus, the veil is taken away. Okay? Well, she goes on to say, if thou knowest not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way, for by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Did you hear that?
This,
well, he was talking about the fruit of this Shulamite, you see. Whoever this Shulamite was bringing, you know. But guess what? She wanted to know where the Lord was feeding his flock. And she was told to go out there beside the shepherd's tent, not in the shepherd's tents. You know what the word tent is? The word tabernacle. And the word shepherd is the word pastor. Same words. The pastor's tabernacle. Beside. He didn't say in. He said beside the shepherd's tabernacle. If you want to know where the Lord's feeding his flock, guess what? He's not feeding him in the shepherd's tabernacle. It says so right there. I'm not twisting that. It says it. That's what it says. If you get your eyes open and you want the real Word, guess what? Babylon is not accepting it. They do not accept it. The organized religions of men have forbidden it. They won't go in. They won't let you go in. All they can feed is milk. If you want to go on to the meat, you can't go. You have to, because you've got to take the milk. Only cow only feeds milk, right? So he said, she says, after she passed the guards, you have to leave man. Christ said of the scribes and the Pharisees, leave them because they're blind, guiding the blind. Remember he said that? Leave them alone. Let the blind guide the blind. And when blind guide the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. And he told them to leave them. You think that was an accident, or you think that was just, no. That was put in there for us. For somebody who's getting their eyes open. He said, leave them. Let the blind guide the blind. They're both going to fall in the ditch. It's so true. It is so true. John 10, verse 3. He's fixing to get into a really good revelation here. John 10, verse 3. Now, I might jump in and out here. I can't stay exactly with what Bolivar's saying here. But let me just read verse 1. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. The fold of the sheep. Think about the fold of the sheep. You know, the sheep don't get fed in the fold. They got to have pasture. You can't grow up. You're not going to live if you stay in the fold. A sheep is going to starve to death in the fold. You know what he's talking about? Did you ever wonder what Jesus was talking about there? Look, let me give you a little key. Back up in John 9 and look at the man who had his eyes open. Remember when Jesus healed the blind man? He got his eyes open? Look at John 9, verse 34. When the Pharisees, when the fools of Bashan found this guy with his eyes open, they had to throw him out of the church because he got his eyes open. Did you see that? You think that's an accident? Oh, no, it's not. God put it right there on purpose. That's why Jesus gave this parable in John chapter 10. The guy got his eyes open, they threw him out of the church. Verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. You know what? A baby Christian who gets his eyes open, he knows more than a guy that's been in that stagnation for 50 years. I'm telling you the truth. If he knows more about following Jesus Christ than a person that's hung up in that hogwash all their life. So they threw him out. But guess who found him? Guess who took him when he got thrown out? Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and finding him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, and who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? He says, I am he, so on and so forth. Jesus found him. Jesus took him up. When they threw him out, Jesus took him up. Now that's why John chapter 10 came into place. The Lord is showing us, hey, this guy was shown, thrown out of the sheepfold. Okay? Now read chapter 10. He that entereth not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You know who he's talking to? He's talking to the religious leaders that are handling the sheep in the fold. And he says, don't think when people quote that verse that they're talking about the devil. They're not talking about the devil. They don't know what they're talking about. Jesus wasn't talking about the devil. He was talking about the religious leaders. The thief and the robber was the religious leaders. Everybody that came before Jesus, they were the religious leaders, not the devil. They quote that, the religious leaders quote that, and they blame it on the devil. But Jesus wasn't making that quote about the devil. He was making it about them. Watch. The same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. So you have to be led out. The only one that's going to lead you out of the sheepfold is the Lord. You know what the sheepfold's good for? You can't get fed in the sheepfold. It's only good for captivity. Think about it. They're captive, but they're not getting fed. They got to get out to get fed. You think about it. Jesus is saying something here. Real deep. If you meditate on the Word of God, He'll talk to you. See? You know what? There's kind of a legalistic captivity in Babylon, but there's no food there. It's just milk. Solid food is for full-grown men, the Bible says. The cows don't know how to feed solid food. They're not feeding solid food. They're feeding milk. Okay? Watch. Verse 4. When he hath put forth all of his own, he goeth before them. Kind of like this guy that was thrown out, you see. He had to be put forth in order for the Lord to be with him. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So, you know what? Jesus' disciples, they heard the voice of the Lord. What about a lot of them other people that didn't come out, didn't pay attention to Jesus? They weren't his sheep. They didn't come out. The ones that heard his voice, they followed him. They lost an ear for the strangers that were ruling over the sheepfold. They lost an ear for them. All they had an ear for was Jesus. See? Verse 7. The Lord therefore said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that come before me, see the prince that stands in the door of the university? I'm the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. All that came before me. Well, he didn't say the devil. They quote that as though it's not the devil. It's the religious leaders. But the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. You know what? When the Lord sets you free, you can go in and you can go out. When he sets you free, make sure you're free. Because if you go back in there and you get trapped in there, because you get respecting of the, like I was calling the other day, the glamour of Babylon, you know, the glitzy glamour of Babylon, and all the fine things that they've got, the finery that they've got, and the good voices that they're, you know, crowd has. You understand what I'm talking about? You can't be impressed with the fleshly things. You got to be impressed with the Lord. You got to follow the Lord. Wherever you go, you got to follow the Lord. You got to stay on that path. And you're going to be tried with the religious leaders to see if you're going to stay on that path. The Lord's going to do that. But this is what he says, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. Now they quote that about the devil all the time, but it's not talking about the devil. He just told you who the thief was. The thief is the religious leader who has stolen a position over the people of God when it wasn't given him, and he didn't earn it, and he didn't come through the right door to get it. You see that? Remember my dream about the time I met the Lord in Mount Zion? I sat down next to the Lord, and I was talking to him, and here, through the window, these ministers were trying to climb into this building, but they didn't have to come the road I came through. And the Lord told me, he said, don't worry about them. He says, they can't come in here. I had to go through a hard road to get to that building. Let me go on here. Let me read this on. He says, you're going to enter Babylon. When you believed in Christ, you entered into Babylon, whether you like it or not. You know, because of your carnal thinking, because you're trying to lead the Spirit of God with your mind instead of the other way around, that's kind of what Babylon is. Come with me, Lord. I'll show you how to take care of this. You know, the idea that the Spirit, your spirit needs to be led by your mind is totally carnal and contrary to the way of God. You know? When you believed in Christ, you entered into Babylon, but you're going to go out. I'm not twisting the Scriptures either. Those verses are clear. I never wanted to twist the Scriptures. I'm not telling you this means this and that means that. You think what you want. If you think any other way, the one who twists the verse is the one that says that this means that. That's how the erroneous doctrines are. Here's another beautiful reference. Well, the one I just pointed out to you, 9:34. Notice, they don't find the best until they go out. There's no food, and I wrote this in here, there's no food in the fold, only captivity. Even the unity is legalistic in the fold. Okay? To find pasture, you have to go out. Or you're never going to grow, because there's nothing there. It's always the same thing. All the churches are like this, with the same thing, and the people with hunger. Well, there's just some hungry people in churches, real hungry people. This type of meeting that you've had with me, many people have done this, because the people are hungry. When we go home all day, the telephone ringing with brothers of many churches, come to my house, because they're hungry. In their churches, they don't find this. They always get the same old thing. You'll die eating beans every day. You can't drink milk all your life. You'll get sick. You see there, when he was thrown out of the church, John 9:34-35, when he was thrown out of the church, then Christ found him. Don't worry. Christ will be in charge of you. When Christ heard that they had cast him out, he went to look for him. And here is fulfilled, John 10, verse 3 and verse 9, which we read. Let's see what happened in the dream. When I saw those people there, I was much afraid. But then I would see the prince again calling me with so much anxiety. The Bible says the prince was calling him to come through the fourth door there, go on through the door into the university. The Bible says that wisdom cries in the hard places, telling the simple, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine that I have mixed. And when I saw him, I felt faith, and I closed my eyes again. You know what it means to close your eyes? That those are steps of faith, that you act without seeing, but believing in God. I closed my eyes, and I jumped, and I fell inside on the floor. And he told me, you did it, you did it. And he picked me up, and he raised me up. And everything inside was of gold. The Bible says when David meditated on the Scriptures, he said it was like him who finds much gold. In other words, everything in the university was gold. You know? And that university was pure gold. It was precious. The university had this big exit. And here in the exit, there was a statue of a lion on each side. Right there at the bottom there, where it's got nests of eagles. Exit. And there's a lion on both sides of that exit. Okay? Now these lions, listen to this now. I'm going to put a little bit of my interpretation here, what I feel like the Lord showed me. These lions had women's heads. Why a lion? Why was the body a lion? You know, because think about it now. When you read the Old Testament, you know who it was that overcome? Who was the overcoming group? Who was it that was inside? It was Judah. Jesus was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Because, so Judah is represented by lions. They're overcomers. They were the overcomers. They were the ones that stayed with God when the other 10 tribes did departed. They stayed with God, you see. And part of Judah was chosen to be in Zion, the one who escaped the beast. Remember, we talked about that, okay?
Not the whole tribe?
No, not the whole tribe. No, they were conquered. But the ones that were in Zion escaped the beast, okay? But it was Judah who was the chosen, you see. He was out of the tribe of Judah. God chose his elect, okay? And this lion these lions had women's heads and women's breasts. And the women's heads, you know what? It's the head of a woman is because this is the bride. These lions represented graduating. It was on the exit. They represented what it was to graduate from this university. Okay? And these lions had women's heads because we're talking about the bride here. And another reason, because the women's head in the scriptures is talked about in 1 Corinthians 11, about her hair is a sign of her submission to her husband. You see? Her hair is a sign of her submission. And the head covering is a sign of her submission. The woman's head is under authority. The woman's head is what was used here. Is under authority to her husband. You know what? If you're under authority to religion, you can't possibly graduate from that university. Because you can't follow religion and Jesus at the same time. It's not possible. If it's true, which one of them? Because there's so many of them and they all go different directions. Now, which one? If it's true, which one? I asked the Lord that. Which one, Lord? Way back when I was getting delivered of this Pentecost religion, which one, Lord? And he told me, frankly, it was none of them. He said, there's bits and pieces of my truth in each one of them. He said, but you can't find it in any one of them. And yet, he wanted me to look at them. He took me around and he had me look at the different Christian religions. And I saw that they would receive bits and pieces, but they reject the other guy's bits and pieces. So they couldn't come to maturity because they weren't looking at the whole picture of Christ, you see. If you want to come to maturity, you've got to look at the whole picture of Christ. And you're not going to get that in any religion. Because they only accept bits and pieces, you see. And they only feed milk. So these lions had women's heads and women's breasts. And if you remember reading in Song of Solomon, the Shulamite, they were talking in there about her breasts, how she was fully mature. What has it got to do with that? Well, first of all, if you're mature, you can feed milk. But if you're not mature, it's not legal for you to feed milk. You see that? Children don't feed milk. But God rebuked the Jews because children ruled over them. Spiritually speaking, the people who ruled over them were children. In the ways of the Spirit, in the ways of God, they were children. And another way, he said they were women. The Lord spoke to me about both them. Children, because they were immature in the way of the Lord. You know, you can talk to people about the way of the Lord. But if you're not walking in it, it don't mean much. It doesn't carry any weight. You're talking about something you don't know about. And he said women ruled over them because women were created by God to receive seed, not to sow seed. But he said women was ruling. You know what? There's people ruling over the church that should be receiving seed. Instead, they're sowing seed. That's why he called them women. It was a curse that women ruled over. And in the New Testament, God don't permit women to rule over his church. You don't permit it for that reason, you see. Okay, well, let's look at these lines because God's showing us what it is to graduate from this university. Okay, he said something else. He said, but the Shulamite in Song of Solomon, by the way, said she had a little sister, but she had no breasts. And she hadn't come to maturity yet. But then she went to educate that little sister, to teach that little sister, to raise that little sister up in the ways of the Lord, to bring her to maturity. The last chapter of the Song of Solomon talks about this. And you think, you know, it's spiritual. Everything that's being said there is spiritual. It's for a parable. You know? He wants you to see. It's for a parable. When you get a chance, read the last chapter of the Song of Solomon. You see what I'm talking about. Okay? Okay, it says, and the lion, it had a lion's body and the claws of a lion. The claws of a lion, you know? Well, the claws of a lion is what the lion attacks its enemy with, you know? You know, if you can't wield the sword of the Lord, you can't graduate from this university. We have a weapon that we can attack our enemy with. And a person that don't use that weapon, they're just not going to win. If they don't have on the armor and they're not wielding their sword, which is the word of God, they're not going to win. Nobody is going to graduate without using that sword. They had to go into the promised land. They had to swing the sword. They had to come against the enemy. God was with them, but he made them swing the sword. You know, people pray to God. They said, God, get this devil off of me. You know what God would tell them if they just listen? You do it. I gave you authority over all the power of the enemy. The authority has been delegated. I delegate the authority. Now you do it. But so many people, they're still waiting on the Lord. They're crying to the Lord. Lord, do this. Lord, do this. The Lord, do this. Well, if you just read the Scriptures, you find out how much authority God has given us over the enemy or to do anything else. Our problem is we don't war with the enemy. We're waiting for God to do it. But you can war with the enemy. You take the Word of God and you can slice him up just like Jesus did. The Word of God in your hand has just as much authority as it did in Jesus' hand. And he passed it on to us. He said, go get them. He told them to go in that promised land, kill them people, live in their house. You know? Same thing. We got enemies living in our promised land. And we have the authority to kill them. They can't. He said, not a one of them is going to stand before you. As long as the Word of God don't depart out of your mouth, none of them will be able to stand. Not a man will be able to stand before you. You know what that meant? Same thing. In here, the old man that dwells in the promised land, not a one of them can stand before you. The Lord told Joshua that. They can't stand before you. You take that sword, they're going to yield. See? Same thing with these lions, man. They are a picture of maturity because they got claws. You know? They got power. They got authority to conquer their enemy. And they had the wings of eagles. These lions had the wings of eagles. They didn't have the wings of an ostrich. You ever seen in the Scripture where God compared the ostrich and the eagle? And he was talking about the difference between overcomers and people that are just proud religious folks, you know. They flap their wings around, but they don't get them off the ground. They're real proud of their wings, but they won't get them off the ground. You know, religion is totally worthless if it don't get you off the ground. You're not an overcomer. You don't overcome the world if you don't get off the ground, right? Right? Look in Job 39. Let me just look at it real brief. But religion is like that. People are very proud of their religion, but you look at them and you say, well, let's see, it's not that much for you. Is it going to do anything for me? See, if religion, Jesus said you'll know the truth will set you free. If what you got is not setting you free, guess what? It ain't the truth. It's real simple. So you just turn it around and look at it. Job 39 and verse 13 and 14. I'll make a little point here. The wings of the ostrich is what it says in the original. The AV says peacocks, but it's not talking about peacocks. It's talking about ostrich. The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are they the pinions and plumage of love? Why does he ask that question? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See what it is to be an overcomer? It is to keep his commandments. If you can't keep his commandments, you don't love him, and you're not overcoming the world. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's real simple. It's real simple. So he compares this ostrich. He says, for she leaves her eggs on the earth and warms them in the dust. You know, the babies of the ostrich, they're on the earth. They're in the earth. They're in the dust. They're in the flesh. You know, the earth is like the flesh, right? Adam came from the dust of the earth. His flesh came from the dust of the earth. They're in the flesh. And forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may trample them. See that? The beast. The beast can trample them. The beast can trample them. The children who are dwelling in the earth, who are the children of the ostrich, they can be trampled by the beast. She deals hardly with her young. She's very legalistic with her young if you really want to know the truth. As if they were not hers. Though her labor be in vain, she is without fear because God hath deprived her of wisdom. Now, jump over to verse 26. Compare it to the eagle. It is by thy wisdom that the hawk soareth and stretcheth her wings towards the south. It's at thy command that the eagle mounteth up and maketh her nest on high. See the difference between the eagle and the ostrich? The eagle put their nest on high where the beast can't get them. And the only way you can get to that nest is you got to be an overcomer. You got to overcome the world. The ostrich can't get off the ground. See? What's he comparing here? You know? He's comparing religion with being an overcomer. That's what he's comparing. And he's comparing the children of religion are in the earth where the beast can trample them. But the children of the overcomer, they're in the high places, which is where we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be living in the high places of the earth, above the earth. And of course the eagle's wings cause him to be an overcomer. You know, the woman was led into the wilderness, right? Remember that? And she was given the two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into her place. The woman in the wilderness. in the wilderness, the woman who's going to be educated by the man-child is going to get understanding. God's going to give to the woman in the wilderness the wings of an eagle. If you saw that thing the way John saw that revelation, you wouldn't see Boeing 747s picking up that woman and taking her nowhere. You'd see the woman with wings like an eagle. That's what he saw. That's what he said he saw. You know, he's not talking physical there. He's talking spiritual. He's talking about they're going to learn to be overcomers in that wilderness, just like the children of Israel were led out of Egypt to depend upon the Lord, to follow their Lord, to follow that cloud of fire, that, you know. And every time that cloud lifted and went, they went. You know, they'd follow the Lord through that wilderness. Learn to follow the Lord in that wilderness, you see. They got the wings of an eagle, spiritually speaking. That's where you get them, in the wilderness, if you listen to the word of the Lord. You know? So that's what these two lions represented. They represented what it was to graduate from this university. Okay, but inside over them, there was a sign that said, Nest of Eagles. That was the name of the university, Nest of Eagles. See, where's the eagle's nest? It's up in the high place, right? He ain't down in the earth. Guess what? When the beast comes through, he's going to be trampling ostrich eggs right and left. The beast is coming through here very shortly. He's going to be trampling ostrich eggs right and left. But there ain't no eagle eggs he's going to get. It's not a problem for them. When he told them in Jerusalem in Matthew 24, he said, when you see Jerusalem encircled with armies round about, flee to the mountains. What's he talking about? You think he's talking physical? No, he ain't. He's not talking physical. He's talking spiritual. When you see Jerusalem encircled about with armies, flee to the mountains. You better be in the mountains. You better be in the mountains with your eggs. Yeah, they flap their wings really proudly, like it says there. But they're not the plumage of love because they don't overcome the world. Love is obeying His commandments. Love is overcoming the world, you see. And the eagle, because he's a hearer and a doer, overcomes the world. Like the woman in the wilderness. He gets them wings and he overcomes the world. He gets over the world. Beats gravity, man. Beats gravity. That's a law. It's a natural law. But wings overcome that natural law. The natural law is that your old man's going to rule your life. But let me tell you something. The wings of Jesus, that Jesus gives us, cause us to overcome this natural life. You know? It's not natural. It's supernatural. Okay? And then he says, then looking at all these things, remembering those men who went the wrong way out of the doorway at the beginning. You know, they went away from the beach. See up there where it says people coming in the wrong way. It's almost like the vision that I had. Okay? And it says, they were entering in through the window, John 10 and 1. When we read that, they come up some other way, they're thieves and robbers. There are people who get into a position of authority over God's people, but they didn't earn that position. The Lord says this is going to happen. It's happened throughout history. The leadership of God's people throughout history have been the most carnal. Why is that? You think God could put good people? No, it didn't suit God to put wise people physically over what's been called His people. It didn't suit God. God's pattern, believe it or not, God's pattern was in Jesus' day. That's the way God has dealt with His people throughout history. Look at Jesus' day. That's the way He's done it. You say, well, I thought it was going to be better with the church. No. The things that happened unto them were for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age come. God is still dealing the same way with the church. Because the overcomers have to be tried. You know how they're going to be tried? The same way Jesus was tried. He was tempted in all points, just like us, except without sin. We're going to be tried the same way. That means you've got to have religious leaders around, ruling physically over God's people, those people that are called God's people. They've got to be tried as to whether when Jesus shows up, are they going to follow Him or are they going to follow the religious leaders? The same trial. The same trial. Don't think you're going to get out of it. You're not going to get out. Nobody does. Same trial. You're going to follow religious leaders or you're going to follow Jesus. See, that's the whole trial. Oh, yeah. You can go from one Babylon to the next. I did it. I went out to the Baptist church and went to the Pentecostal church. Finally, the Lord opened my eyes because I prayed. Lord, open my eyes. I want the truth. I want you to help me to see. And I prayed that prayer during those days. I don't even know why I prayed it, but I prayed it time and time again. And God did it for me. Pray. Ask God to show you the truth. Ask God to show you the truth. He'll do it. Of course. I mean, when He took them out of Egypt, then He had to get Egypt out of them. When He took them out of Babylon, then He had to get Babylon out of them. Of course. It's not just the physical building. That's really the simple part of it.
Well, Bolivar was offended. He says, when I saw those people entering in through here, I was sad, and I told the prince, hey, that's not right. I struggled a lot. And look at that. They're entering through the window. And you know what he told me? He said, don't worry about them. They're not going to do anything here. That's what the Lord told me. Same thing happened to me. I was talking to Jesus. He was sitting on his throne. I was sitting next to him, a little lower, of course, you know. And I was talking to him. And I looked around and saw these people coming up another way, coming through this window. And I didn't say anything to him, but he said something to me. Don't worry about them. They can't come in here. Guess what? They'll never have the authority or the understanding. Bolivar wanted to give the understanding to these brothers. Every time he tried, the chalk broke. Don't think you can bring it back to him. You know what? Remember what I told you about that pastor over there? He's probably not going to receive it. He did. Well, he wouldn't. You think, oh, Bill, that's a man of God. He'll receive it. You just try. You get a revelation from God and try it, and you'll find out. You'll get your eyes opened right there. See, Babylon is a good teacher. Did you know that? It's not the kind of teacher you think. They're not going to teach you the correct doctrines. They're going to teach you what's wrong with human nature. They're going to teach you what's wrong with man's way of doing things. They're going to teach you what's wrong with promoting what is pretty and powerful in this world. They're going to teach you what's wrong with it. They're going to show you it's not going to work. See? And God's going to show you it's not going to work. So they're not the kind of teacher you think they are at the first. But they are a teacher. People think we can just bypass Babylon. No, nobody does. They don't do it because of this thing right here. This is our problem right here. Our thinking is Babylon. You can come out of Babylon, but God's got to get Babylon out of you, you see. And that goes for all of us. So he was offended. The Lord told him, don't worry about it. They're not going to do anything here. That's the wisdom of God, the university. The solid food is this. The solid food. You get in that university, that's where the solid food is. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Look at the Hebrews chapter 5. Oh, thank you, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Help us to see. Help us to make it through this university. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when, by reason of time, you see, God, in time, he wants you to be eating meat. Just like any normal child that grows up, he wants you to eat meat. Well, he says here, he said, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and as are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. See, if you don't grow up, you need milk. But if you drink milk, you ain't going to grow up. Okay? Verse 13. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness. See, the people who just drink milk, they're expecting Jesus to do it all. Well, they might expect the preacher to do it all. But God wants us to experience the word of righteousness. He wants us to walk where Jesus walked. You know the Bema Seat Judgment? You know what the original word says? Bema Seat Judgment? It says Footprint Tribunal. Footprint Judgment. And what we're going to be asked is, did we walk where he walked? Jesus don't want us to just be spectators in this thing. God sent us to be disciples, to do his work on this earth. We're not spectators. God's giving us a job to do. You've got to grow into it. You can't be a teacher on milk. You got to be grown up like the lion, you know. You got to be able to be mature in order to be able to feed milk. Right? The people that are feeding milk now, they got no right to feed milk. They're babies. They can't feed milk. How can they feed milk? They're not mature. They can't feed milk. See? Well, here he's saying, by the time you ought to be a teacher. He said, but you still need milk. Verse 13. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. See, your senses have to be exercised so that you can walk as he walked. You got to see the way he sees. You got to hear the way he hears. See, if you're walking in the world and according to the flesh, you're going to see the way the world sees. You're going to do things the way the world does things. You're not going to do things Jesus is this way. Well, now, Jesus uses doctors. He gave them that education to know how to heal you. Hogwash. You don't see the way he sees if you think that. He hasn't changed a thing. His book is the same, you see. Or now he wants you to go out and go into debt. Or now he wants you to trust in your own wisdom to get yourself out of the situation you're in. No, the Lord wants you to trust in him as your Savior. He wants you to swing that word, you know, that sword, you know. So what he's saying is, he can't give you the wisdom. As long as you're going to be on the milk, you can't get this wisdom that I'm talking about. You can't get that wisdom that's in that universe. You want to see it? Isaiah chapter 28. Who is the Lord going to teach wisdom? Got a good idea? Who is he going to teach wisdom? He can't teach the babes. They can only stand the milk. Isaiah 28 and verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? Whom will he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For it's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Nay, but by men of strange lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, give you rest to him that is weary, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Guess what? The Lord came along to bring a group out of the mother Babylon, in his day. And he even spoke to them in another language, miraculously. He spoke to them. And still, they wouldn't hear and come out. The disciples came out. You know, the Apostle Paul said, when it was a good pleasure of God to separate me even from my mother's womb and reveal in me precious secrets, he was talking about. What do you think he was talking about? His mother's womb. He was talking about that religion he came out of. He was talking about the religions of men. He wasn't talking about physically his mother's womb. God had to open his understanding. He had to see. He had to give up the milk and go on to the meat in order to get true understanding. He had to leave that mess behind. He had to consider it dumb, is what he says. He had to consider all that stuff he gained in religion dumb in order to receive the excellency of the knowledge of the Lord. He had to forget it. Go back and leave it behind. Well, if you're not weaned from milk, you're not going to get the knowledge and the understanding. The knowledge and the understanding that he's talking about, this meat, you have to go beyond the milk. Now, you have to drink all your milk. Any good baby's got to drink all his milk. But you can't stay on that milk. See, some people want to skip some steps, you see, but you can't skip steps. You got to understand the basics. And that's what he was talking about. He said the milk was the basics, the principles of the precepts of the first principles of God. You can't skip over the basics. You got to know the basics. And there's nothing wrong with the basics. But the only thing people are getting in Babylon is the basics. They're not getting any meat, and they're not going to grow up that way. Along with the milk, you've got to have the meat. When you get a little bit, when you've drunk all your milk, then you can go on and take some meat. You know, you can handle some meat. If you don't get the meat where you are, you better go where you can find it, you see. Well, they wouldn't. I mean, they're the best. Every one of them you ask, if you ask them who's the best, they are. Well, we're this church, or we're that church. We got the truth, you know. They believe they're at the top, the cream of the crop, they're at the top, you see. They all believe that. University is the solid food, right? You know what? Abraham made a feast and he rejoiced when Isaac was weaned from the milk. He had a big party. You know who Abraham represented? He represents God. Because he was the father of the faithful. Who's the father of the faithful? God. The Bible says it's Abraham. Abraham represented something. He made a great feast when Isaac was weaned from his mama. Why? Because now Isaac could follow him. He didn't have to stay with his mama. He made a great feast. God celebrates when people are free from the mama. Because now they can follow him. See, God celebrates. You can appear before the Lord and walk with the Lord, but you got to be weaned from the milk. You remember what the Bible said about Samuel in 1 Samuel? How his mother, or his father, told his mother to bring him on up to appear before the Lord. And she said, no, he's got to be weaned first. Now, that's the truth. You know, you're not going to appear before the Lord. You're not going to walk with the Lord. Isaac couldn't walk with Abraham until he was weaned. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Samuel here is a type of the man-child, a clear type. In verse 22, but Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. There abide forever. See, a person who's weaned and walking with the Lord, they're going to walk with Him forever. They're going to walk with Him forever. It's eternal,
this thing.
Well, in Genesis 21 and 8, that's where Abraham made this great feast. Now he's separated from Mama. Now he can follow me. Now he can go with me. You don't have to stay with Mama, you know. And he was just really celebrating. And Bolivar goes on to say here, he said, that's the wisdom of God, the universe. The solid food is this. The way is the milk and obedience. If you drink all your milk, then you can enter into the solid food. In the dream I entered, but that doesn't mean that I entered for real. But I gave thanks to the Lord because He has taught me a lot. And it was because of the simple obedience I did regarding the doctrine that I had. I had obeyed them, and He opened the heavens. You know what the eagle's nest means? The Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord will not perish, but they will have new strength and will raise up with wings like eagles. That's Isaiah chapter 40, 30 and 31. Okay? And the eagles represent wisdom, but they also represent having died to self. Do you remember Matthew 24? Where the eagles are gathered, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Remember Jesus said that? Well, what does that mean? Yeah. The carcass means dead body. Well, you know what he's talking about? And in the original, it says eagles. It don't say vultures. You say, well, if a carcass is there, that's vultures. And so the reasoning got in there and they put vultures, but none of the ancient manuscripts say vultures, they say eagles. My Bible says eagles too. The word carcass there is dead body. You know what the Lord wants you to see? When you're dead to self, that's where there's going to be an eagle. Everywhere where somebody's dead to self, that's where there's an eagle, because they've overcome the world. The eagle represents an overcomer. And Bolivar makes the point here, he says that it represents wisdom, you know. And I agree with that. It does. It represents wisdom. This is beginning to make sense. You know what? Look at it. Look at how many of God's people are caught up in a religion, especially when they're first born again. They usually, most of them got saved by religious people in a religious situation. And if they matured, if they went on to trust God, if they had a personal relationship with God through this Bible, they outgrew their religion. Everybody does. Everybody who has a personal relationship with the Lord, everybody who puts their trust in the Lord, everybody who prays to the Lord and asks for His guidance, His wisdom, His direction, they're going to outgrow religion. That's part of it. All of God's people had to come out of Babylon in order to build Zion. Zion is not in Babylon. Well, sure. That's just basics. Listen, you know what? Speaking in tongues, the Pentecostals would have you believe that's the ultimate, to speak in tongues, and that's all they ever talk about. They neglect the rest of the gifts. But guess what? Brand new baby Christians spoke in tongues in the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. Every time somebody got baptized and came to the gospel, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Common? Common. Because God wanted you from a baby on up to speak in tongues, to have the gifts of the Spirit. This was one of God's gifts to bring you to maturity. Pentecostals think, man, it's just, I mean, you ain't speaking tongues, you're nothing, you know. But if you speak in tongues, you're arrived. No, you haven't. You just stuck your toe in the door. Speaking in tongues is what God gave to baby Christians in order to bring them to maturity, because then they could pray to God in a language that they didn't understand, so their ignorance wouldn't get in God's way, and they could speak according to the will of God, and God would hear that prayer. A baby Christian needs tongues more than anybody. A baby Christian needs tongues more than a person who's grown up in the Lord.
Having not matured.
Well, here's the point. Here's the whole point. Are you going to let the Holy Spirit lead you, or are you going to let this mind lead you? See? Because the mind of the flesh is the enemy, listen to what the Bible says, is the enemy of God. If you're going to be led by the mind of the flesh, you're the enemy of God. You're going to go contrary to God. And religion teaches you to obey your mind. They want to indoctrinate your mind to follow their precepts. They want to sow your mind full of their seed, so that you obey with your mind. I did it when I was in that Pentecostal church. I converted all kind of people to Pentecostalism. You know what it was? I had an anointing. I thought, man, I'm anointed of God. Man, these people, they couldn't stand in front of me. I'd quote the verses for them, and it would just knock their stilts out from under, you know. They'd be, had to admit I was right. You know? But it was just a bunch of garbage. The anointing I got was from the flesh. It was from the devil, you know. And I was converting people to my doctrine, you know. And it wasn't a bit of anointing in it. It wasn't any anointing. It was anointing, all right, but not of God, you know. And I was converting people, and I was being very successful at it because they didn't know their word, and I knew my word, you know. I was full of the word. Full of the word of that religion. Yeah. But I was praying, and I was asking God, God, open my eyes. I want to see. I want the truth. And give me the best Bible you can give me, Lord. I just put all everything I could put in front of the Lord. I didn't trust that their Bible was the best. You know, I prayed, you know.
So all these, they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're going by...
Watch this. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to show you something. Yeah, that is, it talks about strong delusion. But by what medium does the strong delusion come? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Find that. How does the medium come? Now, what method does God use to bring this strong delusion? He tells you there, and he calls it the son of perdition. The son of perdition? Who was the son of perdition? The Bible says very plainly, Judas was the son of perdition. Now, how does Satan's ministers come? And he also says, false apostles, son of perdition. And in the same chapter, in 2 Corinthians, what do these false apostles and these ministers of righteousness and these false apostles, what do they teach? He tells you that they teach another Jesus, another gospel, and another spirit. Oh, it's still Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Okay? But it's another Jesus. So, how is this delusion coming? Listen, folks. This delusion is coming through the pulpits. That's how this strong delusion is coming. It's coming through the pulpit. It says it very plainly. The son of perdition was a false apostle. Satan sends false apostles. And all of his ministers are fashioning themselves as ministers of righteousness. All of Satan's ministers. Satan ain't going to send a minister you ain't going to accept. He's sending ministers as ministers of righteousness. And they're preaching, according to the Apostle Paul, another Jesus, another gospel, by another spirit. And that's where the delusion is coming from. You say, what is the delusion? The delusion is religion. The delusion is the doctrines of men, the precepts of men, that have no power to make you grow and to be an overcomer.